The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me, as always, again this week, is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And it's not on the notes, and we're not going to spend any time on it, but I'm just going to let everyone know, because today feels like a good day to let everyone know, that if you roll with Podzilla 1985 and Pro Wrestling Unscripted, you cannot roll with racism or sexism or homophobia or transphobia or overall bigotry. You're just not allowed. Nope. And if you do, kindly see yourself to the door. Yeah. So with that said, there's a ton of news to actually talk about. So we didn't do an episode last week, which again is my fault, because Wednesday night here in Southeast Missouri, there was an ice storm. Nowhere near as bad as the ice storm we got back in 2009, but it was enough that like my work was like, hey, we close in an hour and a half anyway, but go home now. So we clocked out, we left. Roads were garbage. I almost got slammed into by a D-bag in a giant truck who doesn't understand that four-wheel drive does not apply to ice. So that gave me a pretty solid panic attack. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to not really record, which it actually kind of worked out because there was almost no, other than like previewing the takeover, there wasn't a ton of news to go over anyway. But this week, oh lordy, this week there's plenty of news. So let's kick things off with a little bit of bad news, because I want you to know we're going to talk about Elimination Chamber this Sunday, but more importantly, we're going to talk about that NXT takeover from this past Sunday, and oh boy, I'm excited to do that. But the news of the week, kicking things off with WWE informed its employees that they are putting a freeze on raises and promotions. And I want to point out before we kind of, you know, rip them to shreds for this, that this is not a WWE issue. This is a capitalism issue. And if you're thinking, holy crap, they've gone super hard left. One, we've been here. We've been here. And also, two, there's no such thing as moral capitalism. Because WWE posting record profits. They're the billion-dollar deals left and right. They're selling the network to Peacock. And they got the USA deal. But no, sorry, the people who are actually responsible for that, among all of the layoffs, so they're paying less people, now the people who have had to pick up that slack aren't getting raises, and they're not getting promoted.
Yeah.
And it's because this is just how the system is now. This is just the system that we live in. So yes, it is a very, very terrible thing that WWE is doing, but we can't say that WWE is the only company doing this. They're just the only company doing it that is relevant to this specific show.
Yeah, and it's just super frustrating because we keep hearing the record money, because they don't make money off of wrestling anymore. They make money off of deals. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to run live shows right now, so they're actually saving so much money by not having to travel. They get to pay less people, and then they're just like, hey, we're also just not going to like give you the extra money that you probably rightly deserve right now, because you guys have been working, what is it, 3 to 4 live shows a week, some mm-hmm. weeks, and it's like, hey, those raises that we probably should give you because, you know, pandemic, you've worked really hard, we're making more money than we ever have before, that's just not going to happen. Well, what about this extra money? That's just not going
to
happen.
No, that's all going to people who don't actually work for the company, the people at top and shareholders and things like that, because, again, the system is rigged against you.
Yeah. And
it's just everything's broken. Also, real quick, because whenever we do this, I like to keep this more as like a podcast feel. So I don't do a ton with the chat because, again, you can watch us live at facebook.com/podzilla1985 every Wednesday right around 7 p.m. Given barring any sort of technical issues, Dalton.
Sorry, I'll have it figured out by next week.
You can watch us live. And I want to point out to Michaela and Caleb in the chat, which, one, thank you for being here. And two, they know very limited things about what happened at TakeOver. If you have the network, I would say go out of your way to watch this TakeOver. Not right now, but just like here in about 55 minutes, go watch this TakeOver, because holy cow.
It was so good.
But more on that later. And also, just to loop it back in, one final point here. These are the employees that were told that they weren't going to be given raises. This isn't just for on-air talent. This includes, you know, behind-the-scenes people, corporate people. You know, because it's easy to reduce WWE to the people that we see on screen and the very limited number of production people that you know are there each week at the shows. You know, like people who set up the ring, set up the ring crew, set up the stage, sound people, you know, the production truck people, things like that. But you also have to keep in mind, like, there's wardrobe people, hair and makeup, the corporate office people, you know, the people that are in Connecticut still, that aren't even necessarily in Florida each week.
Yeah,
this is a multi-million, billion-dollar company, and they're telling people that, hey, we've never made so much money before, and it's because of you, but you don't get any of it. So, shrug emoji.
That is the worst part about it. Mm-hmm. It would be different if they weren't making money. If they were hemorrhaging money,
if no one's making money, Vince isn't getting bonuses. Like, you go back to, I think it was Iwata in Nintendo, who was like, hey, the Wii U is a failure and we are bleeding here. So I'm cutting my own salary to make sure we don't have to let anyone go. Like, that's just the opposite of what's happening here.
Yeah, this is, hey, we have all this money. Let's find a way to have more money. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately right now, like, it is through the raises. Mm-hmm. If there was another way for them to save money, they would, and they are currently, because we're seeing it. And that's the really frustrating part, in my opinion, is just, like, you guys are making so much money right now, and you have so many people that are risking their personal health along with their family's health, along with everybody around them's health, doing your shows. Because, again, pandemic. Like, we can keep circling back to everything, but it really does go by the fact that this has not gone away yet. And unless every single person in that building has taken that vaccine and gotten the second round already, because let's face it, WWE would have enough money to be able to make that happen. Like, they are still actively putting people's lives in danger.
Yeah. Caleb in the chat saying that it's really hard to support WWE right now. 100%. They're making a lot of really questionable, shady, shitty moves. And that's part of why I'm so excited that the network is going to Peacock. Because now it feels like, okay, I'm giving NBC Universal money.
Yeah.
I'm receiving WWE Network as like a side, as a little bit of a side, as like a bonus to getting to fall asleep to The Office again.
It's so nice. Whereas
with the network, it is like I'm contributing directly. But it's such a fine line, because it's the same thing with, because as much as I keep up with wrestling news, I try to keep up with video game news in the same sense. And you look at the video game industry and you get nothing, but it feels like nothing but horror stories of how these developers are being treated by the people who own publishing companies and even some of the developers themselves. And it's like, man, I don't want to give this company any money because of the way that I can see that they're treating these reports coming out of how people are treating their employees. But then someone will make the argument of just like, okay, well, just so you know, like, by saying, hey, I don't support the people at the top, I'm not going to, in boycotting a product, that also kind of, like, you're also kind of boycotting the innocent people, the people there busting their butts and suffering under these conditions. And yeah. then you think, okay, but like, so let's say I give, like Activision. Activision is a cartoon James Bond villain level company. But like Call of Duty and World of Warcraft and Blizzard World of Warcraft, like these are the biggest games in the world. So it's like, okay, well, if I don't spend $60 on this new Call of Duty game, I'm not supporting the developers who are working in these bad conditions. But also, if I do say like, hey, I want these people to know that their work is being recognized and valued, so I'm going to pay for the game. But how much of that money is actually getting to the people who are being crunched and are having to work all this crazy overtime? And how much of that money is actually just going to the people on the top? Everything's broken. Guillotine 2020. That is the platform that we should run. So that's why I like the Good Place, because it really kind of, once you get past the first few seasons, they really kind of address like, so humanity's complicated, huh? Why things should just be black and white. Again, that's why when I'm Superman, everyone's equal, everyone's safe. Don't care if you're happy.
That's all that'll matter in that moment.
It's just y'all gonna be equal and you're gonna be safe. Let me see, where did my notes go? So, but that's it. I'm gonna shake up. The list that I sent you originally, I'm gonna kind of go out of order, because okay. I want to get the negative side of news out of the way, and then we'll talk about good things in the lead up to takeover.
Okay with that. That sounds like a fun time.
The next bit of unfortunate news is apparent. Carlito has done an interview where he mentioned that he is actually finished up with the WWE. We spoke. Me and you, Dalton, spoke. Not we spoke with Carlito, because that would be awesome. But we talked about how there was the rumor going around that he was on like a 3-week trial run after his appearance at the Royal Rumble, but it looks like that's not the case. He was at the Royal Rumble, and then I don't think it was the next Monday. I think it was the Monday after, where he was in that tag team with Jeff Hardy against Elias and what's his nuts from the Forgotten Sons,
Jackson Riker.
Sure. And they won that match, but that seems to have been the end of the Carlito experiment, which one is a bummer, because I've always liked Carlito. I always enjoyed his stuff. I thought his character of just like the smarmy, everything should be handed to him, like kind of rookie in WWE who wasn't giving the veterans respect. Like, I dug Carlito a lot, and to see him come back at the Royal Rumble looking like he did, I was all on board for like, give me a Carlito Bobby Lashley feud, put him on SmackDown and let him feud with Big E, like put him in the mid card, put him at a run, because you know his first match on Raw was he won the Intercontinental Championship,
and then his first match on SmackDown he won the U.S. Championship.
Yeah, so like he's always been
a title contender. Right, at least like, mid-card wise, like he was always there.
Mm-hmm. So, and I would love to see him get be put on some sort of, you know, I think he would have been a really solid boost to that mid-card on either show, really.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be interesting to see where he ends up, because I feel like, you know, the reaction he got at the Royal Rumble and the way that he looks, he really could, you know, use that to, you know, jump to somewhere else. Like, does he show up at Impact? Does he use that exposure, maybe pop up in New Japan or AEW? You know, that would be super cool, and I think a
New Japan would be the best, just because I don't want to really see him go to AEW, just because I don't feel like they need him.
I mean, they don't, but
like, and that's the whole thing, is I just don't want it. It's the same thing. We've talked about it before. AEW has such an amazing roster. And for them, like, I don't want to see them get bloated because they just keep signing people that they don't really need to be signing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Carlito will... He is a veteran that can teach the younger guys a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of it is they have a lot of that already. Like, they have a lot of WWE talent that can... or former WWE talent that can go in and teach these guys how to kind of slow down and work the American television style.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is they don't really have that issue as much anymore. Hey, is there a reason that our feed ended?
Did it?
Yeah, my Facebook said that this live video has ended. It'll be able to watch. Yeah, it's that's stopped, but our recording here on Podzilla1985.com is working great. I'm going to log back in to see if it is truly or if my Facebook
is still showing. So I have never had an actual video feed for this so far. I'm still showing that we're live and that the... Michaela says it's still going, so okay. I think it's maybe just, it was just your... Yeah,
it's it could just see your, my face back. Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what happened there. But
Caleb
it
still hears this? Okay, so we're good. Right, cool. We're moving on.
My bad.
But, like I completely agree. As cool as it would be to see him show up on AEW, maybe not, like, full-time, maybe give him, like, a Zack Ryder or the Matt Cardona style, just, hey, I'm going to show up for 4 weeks, I'm going to tell this one specific story, and move on to somewhere else.
And then I'm going to go to Impact.
Yeah, which is, you know, Matt Cardona just showed up on Impact not too long ago. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, real quick, I didn't put this on the I didn't put it on the main news list, but you'll probably know more about this. But now that it is, what, 10 years since Z True Long Island Story debuted, he is launching now MC True Long Island Story as part of the Major Brothers Network.
Yeah, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Network. The new first episode just dropped. I haven't got to watch it yet. I haven't been, like, I have not been consuming new media except for season 6 of Community, and I got halfway through it, and I know it's coming. I know
you
it's...
don't. You don't. You're not ready.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know, like, I know whatever it is going to ruin me.
Like, I want to FaceTime you. Like, I want to do this. Like, okay, you're watching it, and I'm just sort of, I will mute myself. I just want to watch you watch it.
Because, like, I decided to rewatch season 5 to get me ready for season 6, and that was a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because those first 4 episodes are mother effers. And then it's just like, oh, now Troy's not here. But, I mean, that's not neither here nor there. But, like, I just haven't had the brain capacity to absorb anything that's, like, brand new to me. I've just been rewatching old stuff that I already know where it's going, and it's not going to hurt my feelings.
Sure.
But I'll try to look that up this week and kind of give you a quick rundown of what that's like. Hopefully it's cool.
I'll probably end up watching it. Like, the reason I haven't gotten caught up on Being the Elite is because at this point I'm more than, like, 100 episodes behind. But I feel like if I'm starting at number 1 with this, it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Although I also don't know how much, like, I'm not into that podcast. Like, I don't listen to the Major Wrestling Figures podcast. If it's a bunch of inside jokes to that, then I might kind of bounce off of it. But we'll see. I'll give it a shot. I like him enough. Let's see. We talked about that. Braun Strowman, who appeared on Monday night on Raw. So hopefully that is a good sign that, he's on the mend, but apparently he got very, very sick, and he got an infection that ended up entering his bloodstream. He says that he lost 15 pounds in 5 days. But he says that the antibiotics they put him on have been working and that he's feeling better. Now it's just a matter of putting that weight back on. So, you know, good luck to Strowman. Hopefully that isn't something too serious, because that just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something that would be fun to contend with even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that is the end of the bad news. Everything else is solid. News?
Yes.
Yeah, including signing to WWE. It was announced that Taya Valkyrie has signed with WWE, and it is expected that she will report to NXT, which her versus Io Shirai, yes, give me that, please and thank you. I would like to see those matches.
Yeah, Ty is one of those talents that I think I could watch. I think she elevates everybody she gets in the ring with, and she's really, like, good. Like, she's just really fun to watch. So it's exciting, especially if she is just doing NXT for a while. There's a lot of people that could use somebody to that level. And also just some people I just want to see have a great match with her. Like, I think Dakota Kai and her would have an amazing set of matches. Like, there's that women's roster on NXT, even though it doesn't have the names that the main roster has, is still incredibly stacked. And yeah, like they... if you watched NXT this week and you saw that in full display, because like it doesn't seem like they have a lot of major players until you really look at it and you're like, oh no, like they're setting up a lot of really cool stuff and to have the depth to be able to do it too.
Yeah. So she, but apparently it's in, it hasn't been confirmed yet. We are reportedly just a few days away from the next class of signees being announced. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll have the full list there once that comes out, including a very familiar name potentially.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Cause I don't think that's been announced yet.
I mean, it's not been announced, but it's been on all of the major news sources
mm-hmm.
that Blake Christian is one of the people that is signed.
Which is so freaking cool. I'm so happy for him.
He's one of those guys that like even take away like meeting him and knowing him a little bit. I don't know. Like we're not super good friends or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I have only had positive interactions with him. Every time I like watch him, I'm amazed with how that human body can do that. And like just getting to watch his like watch him on Twitter, anything that he does on Twitter, it's instant gold. He had those amazing matches with Lio Rush, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah, no, this is somebody. The writing was on the wall very early after meeting him that yeah, no, he's gonna be somewhere someday. I think we even talked about that right after watching him live.
We did.
He's gonna be signed somewhere within 2 years, and we were right. Like.
Yeah. And see, because that was one that, because I remember the first time I heard his name was doing I want to say 2 super shows ago, maybe 3 even, when we did the panel after, and someone asked who, like, some new faces were going to be coming in, and Jason mentioned Blake Christian. He named, you know, Blake Christian. If you don't know who he is, look him up, and we're going to be bringing him in, and how excited he was to bring him to CCW, and that ended up being a amazing get. To this day, his triple threat match with it was down in Charleston. I don't remember which show it was, but it was Blake Christian, Ace Hawkins, and Austin Lane.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most challenging matches I have ever had to call because I was by myself and I can't speak that fast. I felt like I had to put on my auctioneer hat to be able to keep up with everything that they were doing.
To pull back the curtain.
I love that match.
To pull back the curtain a little bit of that, because that was the same night that me, Ray Fury, and Hollis Giroux had our triple threat match, and we just kind of saw that and we all kind of three looked at each other and we were like, there's going to be some really high impact moves. That's we're going to hit each other kind of hard. How about that? Like we're going to be the opposite end of it. And we all
they jumped off a balcony. We're not doing any of that.
Oh yeah. No, like me or Ray probably would have, honestly, if we would have talked Hollis into it, he probably would have too. All three of us were capable of it, but we were just like, what's the point? They're going to do
what you jumped off a balcony. We're going to have a very long, very painful conversation for you.
Don't worry, I'm sure the balcony jump will be painful enough. Remember, I was supposed to have a ladder match, and that just happened. It didn't happen because the building was too short.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew that me and Jay were going to do the stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, but I didn't need to because they already did it for me. Those sweethearts. Yeah, no, that was one that I wish I could have watched live because I was too busy. That was the day whenever I still had the dart. And it's super broke. Oh, yeah,
you had that was a very bad day for you.
Yeah, like my great aunt's funeral was that day, and I missed that because of the car. And then the car was fixed, but it wasn't fixed. And then I had to go do a triple threat with, fortunately, Hollis, because mm-hmm. I worked him enough. But then mm-hmm. it was like Ray Fury, who never met me before. I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then I felt like we had a really good match. But yeah, no, when you compare it to that just speed exhibit of Lane, Hawkins, and Christian, it was like night and day.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Let's see. But yeah, so I'm excited for that full list, that full class to be announced.
Yeah.
So let's see. This is a funny story. So Cameron Grimes formerly wrestled under the name Trevor Lee on the Independents and on Impact Wrestling. He's been on NXT for a while now. And he's a ton of fun to watch. Hunter Hendricks, former host of PW, you can catch him on PZ85 Plays and Horse Time. He doesn't watch a ton of wrestling, but he keeps up with Cameron Grimes mostly, just because the dude's super entertaining. To the Moon, like, it's before To the Moon was a thing, that was his thing. Well, he got injured not too long ago. Very, very minor injury. It was only out for a couple weeks. But in that couple weeks, turns out he spent some time on Reddit. Because Brian Alvarez on their show was talking about this. I listened to the clip that apparently he caught wind of the Wall Street Bets thing. And he invested a bunch of money into AMC stock at like $3 and something a share, or even less. And then he ended up selling all of that stock when AMC hit $15 a share.
Who?
Brian Alvarez said that it was 5 digits worth, easy. So tens of thousands of dollars. And that there is a chance that Cameron Grimes is now the richest person on the NXT roster.
Which is
because
so
of,
sad.
Because of meme stock happening. So, to jump ahead a little bit. Actually, no. Let's pause. The Wednesday before TakeOver, someone drives up in a Lamborghini, opens the door. It starts at the feet. It's cowboy boots. You pan up. And then jacket, no shirt, just hairy chest, Cameron Grimes pulls out a fat stack of money and just cuts a promo about how if money is power, then he can afford to tell Mr. Regal to kiss his grits. And just he's throwing money around. It's incredible. I love it. And then on TakeOver, Josiah Williams, one, opened the show with a music video about NXT, but then there was another friggin' music video that was dedicated to Cameron Grimes and the whole Kiss My Grits thing, and it's just, and To the Moon, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. I found it on Reddit, and I sent it to Hunter, because I was just like, hey, they gave him a music video. Which he said that was enough serotonin to last him through the week.
It is so good.
I firmly choose to believe the headcanon that Cameron Grimes paid for not only the music video, but the ad time for that to play.
Because that was a good 2.5 minutes.
It was a segment. Like, yeah. I mean, not a segment, but yeah, it was around 2 minutes. And I was a big fan of that. And just, oh, it's so good. It reminded me, like, my headcanon is it's like Tony Khan buying the time in during Impact's tapings.
Yeah.
So he can advertise AEW Dark, so he can advertise AEW while simultaneously talking crap on Impact. It's just, oh, it's so much fun.
My favorite thing
for Cameron Grimes.
My favorite thing is that man got to film a music video about being rich while actively making money on the stock market. Like, Caleb Carter said it in the chat. It's like he's going to be the JBL of NXT. And it's pretty accurate, where the dude just made a pretty good chunk of change and then gets to live that.
Except, here's the thing, is he's not going to be JBL. Because JBL, as you know, went from Bradshaw to John Bradshaw Layfield. He then went from hard-hitting, beer-drinking man of the people to just now he's super white collar and now he's rich and yeah, he's
the
still
wrestling god.
Yeah, but his character completely changed. Cameron Grimes' character, it's very worth noting, has not changed one tiny bit, except that now he's loaded.
Which is so
he's
great.
Still the super loud, obnoxious southern I saw it on Reddit or Twitter, I don't remember where, but someone called him the $1 million caveman.
Oh god.
And it's just like, yeah, that's what it is. You know, whenever he said he didn't finish it with this, which blew my mind, because it seems like it's right there, it's obvious, and maybe that's why they didn't do it, is because it is so obvious.
Yeah.
But when he said, money is power, I assumed he was going to follow that with, and you're looking at the most powerful man in NXT. Like, that seems like that's the natural progression to that line. But he didn't do it. And again, I'm not paid to do that, so they probably thought of that and were like, it's too basic.
Yeah, but, or it might be something that he starts doing later.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it could eventually come.
You can't. So. You can't give them everything at once. You gotta. You gotta leave a little bit of meat on the bones.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next story, real quick, because there's not a lot to dissect or talk about, really. But congratulations to Mia Yim and Keith Lee on their engagement.
Yeah, it's super awesome to see.
They'd been dating for a while, and she posted on Twitter that they finally got engaged. So that's good for them. I like both of them as people, except for the fact that Mia Yim is obviously ducking Xavier Woods on Monday Night Raw. Woods versus Reckoning. Make it happen.
They already have Reginald versus Sasha.
You could, yeah. And this would be a better... I feel like this would... Like, let them have a match. I'd watch it.
Yeah,
I'd
think...
watch it all day.
And it's the super annoying thing of just... And this is going to be a little bit of a side rant. Is I really wish that they would just let intergender wrestling happen. Mm-hmm. I get the pros and cons. And you really don't want, like, a male superstar hitting a female superstar in the way that looks. But at the same time... They're all, like, athletic competitors, and that's the way that you do your show now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
why?
The best thing that they could have done, and even though it really annoyed me, was having Becky Lynch take the End of Days a year ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago? God, I'm getting old. Like, I didn't like the amount of time that she sold it because she died for, like, 20 minutes. But it at least made sense that somebody that outweighed her by, like, almost 200 pounds, like, just put her out.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, just let it happen. Especially whenever it happens like that. Like, you don't have to force it. It's not going to be a forcing if you have Mia Yim fight Xavier Woods. Like, it makes sense.
Right. And especially in that context, because the whole, like, he was 2-2 for against members of Retribution. The only one he hadn't wrestled was Reckoning. So let that be the rubber match. But we're never going to get that. Yeah, and like you said, like, it was the same thing with, like, Beth Phoenix when she got RKO'd, of, like, it was the most devastating thing to ever happen to her, and it's like, no, she was one of the toughest women that the WWE Women's Division has ever had. It's, quit pretending that they're fragile. It's dumb.
Now, if you have them, like, if it was a cruiserweight, again, I'm only doing this based on weight.
Sure.
Like, if it was Mustafa Ali.
But yeah, but they don't. But they didn't stretch her out Rey Mysterio every time he took a finisher.
And that, no, I agree. It's dumb, and I get it, but I just wish that they would just change their mind on it.
Right. Maybe that's the next forbidden door that should open. Hey, speaking of the forbidden door.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you just forced that one in.
This is the only thing that really was worth that we would have talked about last week, except we couldn't have because it wouldn't have happened until after we were done recording. But the forbidden door, which honestly, like, if I never have to hear that phrase again, I'll be fine with it. But AEW actually apparently filed a trademark for the forbidden door and the forbidden portal. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot of it. But it has swung open with authority. Because last week on AEW, the show ended with Kenta showing up and laying and attacking Moxley. And then we also got the announcement that David Finlay and Juice Robinson would be appearing on Impact. Finlay and Robinson, obviously New Japan stars. Kenta, obviously a New Japan star. Now working with not only AEW, which I think a lot of people expected. That was the one that people were really, really looking for, really, really asking for. But then they started to work with Impact first, which I think is cool. Like, I love that. But I know there were some people who felt it was a little bit of a letdown compared to, you know, and New Japan and AEW just seems cooler, especially given the history of the Bullet Club and the Elite, than Impact and AEW.
And
but
I
now
feel
it looks like it's all three.
Yeah, and I still feel like Impact very much, unrightfully so, mind you, I feel like Impact still very much has a stigma around it.
It does.
Even though it shouldn't.
And that
they're
sucks.
Doing, yeah,
yeah, no.
They're doing some amazing things, and it shouldn't have it. But I feel like that 10 years ago, Hogan and Bischoff running what was really promising into the ground, like, there, man, it's still there. Like, it kept me from watching it during 2016. Like, I just recently, like a year ago, started kind of following it a little bit more. And it's been a lot of fun. I love that. I love Brian Myers, and that's where he's, that's his home right now. Mm-hmm. And I love everything he's been doing. He's been a lot of fun. But yeah, no, it's
the Prince of Queens stuff is really good.
And like, I think it's a lot cooler personally that Impact and AEW are doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, that's just something to be said. There's something really old school about American wrestling companies working together. Back whenever, 40 years ago, that's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
We had alliances. We had all that. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be one giant AEW alliance, but it's really cool to see this happen.
It's, I am a big fan of it because it's more interesting, and it really gives you that feel of anything can happen. You know, Kenta showing up out of nowhere was like, holy crap. What the hell? Oh, no, actually that was 2 weeks ago, because last week was the match they had.
Yeah.
It was Omega and Archer against Kenta and, no, Moxley and Archer, and Archer. And against Kenta and Omega. So we would have actually talked about that. Doesn't matter. Anyway. And then you have TJP, who's an Impact wrestler, is showing up in New Japan. So it's all kind of, everybody's kind of going everywhere. And I like that, because it really does kind of feel like, okay, who's going to show up where? Wait, Private Party's now the Impact tag champ, like, number one contenders? Like, when that happened, that was wild. That was exciting.
And you're building equity in everybody at the same time. It's one of those things now where, hey, can we send this guy to your company for a couple of weeks and kind of build him, and you guys can do stuff with him? Like, play with this toy and make this toy cooler. Like, show us how to play with this toy differently.
Right. And the only downside that I'll say is, I personally think it's hilarious, and I enjoy it a lot as it's been happening. But the Tony Khan buying the commercials just so he can crap on Impact is hilarious, and I love it. But it makes me question, like, okay, but then if it's the whole Chris Jericho promo point of, if you do nothing but crap on your opponent in a promo, then you've beat someone, who cares? You made them look terrible. But then if they beat you, holy crap, how bad are you that you lost to someone that you said all these things about?
Yeah, it's like we've talked about personally. And it doesn't seem like
it doesn't seem like he's striking that balance of, like, insulting while also putting them over. So that's kind of odd. And it also does still feel kind of one-sided, because it's a lot of, it's been pretty much just Kenny Omega going to Impact initially. And then we did get Private Party and, like, the Jerry Lynn thing that didn't really seem to go much anywhere else, versus the number of Impact people coming to AEW has been a lot fewer, it feels like.
Yeah. And Michaela in the chat brought up a really, like, interesting thing that I saw, and I don't think it was Khan, I think it was Cody, said that Tony Khan said WWE is welcome to come to AEW. I think that was Cody saying
that,
it.
Yes, Cody did say that they are open to working with WWE, they just kind of have to agree to it, which
we all know. That's the right answer. Like, that's the answer you want to give. But it's it's the same reason why we never really got to see, like, you don't see companies do show v show.
Right.
Because there's no right way to do it. Because there was a lot of talks of people winning a Stride versus CCW show, like, 2-3 years ago. Like, right around the time that I was breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's one of those things that I think I've heard both bookers of both shows say about these kind of shows is, how do you book them?
Right, because someone has to lose.
Somebody has to lose, so, like, do you put all of your top guys against their bottom guys and then have that be the thing? Well, yeah, of course. Like, I'm not going to go up against Axe Allwort being a CCW guy and win.
Right.
Like, but so is that guy better than CCW now? Or, like, and the same thing with AEW and Impact. You have to find the perfect balance in it. And right now there's so many heads, so that's going to make it interesting. But with WWE, nobody, like, Vince is not going to let up a second. Watch the invasion angle. And that's different. Vince owned everything. He owned
right.
everything.
And he bought WCW just so he could embarrass WCW.
Yeah, and then did the same to ECW. And, like, if you really look at it, two stars came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rob Van Dam and Booker T. And those were really the only two. Like, yeah, Rhino had an okay run, but he didn't really start getting featured until he went to Impact. Mm-hmm. And, like, but if you look at everybody else, it was really just Rob Van Dam and Booker T. Shane Helms got in based on the fact that he was able to create the Hurricane.
And the only exceptions to that are people who were already, who had already been to WWE. So, like, Hogan didn't suffer, which most of those people weren't even in the invasion angle because they just chose to stay home and get paid.
Caleb Carter just said, the whole thing with AEW and Impact reminds them of when WWE let ECW guys wrestle on their shows. Like, pre-invasion. Right. And that's pretty accurate.
When Vince was cutting Paulie checks.
Yeah. And again, it just goes to the whole thing of, it's really hard to do things like this in wrestling. Although AEW and Impact need to keep doing it because it's really good for the business, in my opinion.
Right.
It's really hard to find that good balance because, like, is Rich Swann going to beat Chris Jericho?
Kenny Omega's going to beat Rich Swann.
Well, yeah. I had to put one of their top guys against one of their top guys. Like, how do you figure out who loses in that?
Right.
And it not hurt the company. You know what I'm saying?
I will say, I think it's a lot easier to do it when it's an ongoing relationship.
Yeah.
Because as an example, let's say that there was a CCW versus Stride show back when it was originally pitched, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And let's say the match was established former heavyweight champion Axe Allwort versus Green as Goose Shit Dalton Anthony in, like, his sixth match ever.
Yeah.
Yes, if it is a one-time event, obviously it makes a ton of sense that Axe would just destroy you.
And if Axe is listening, it makes total sense why he would destroy me right now. I just need to get that out there.
Sure. But now let's say that this led to, okay, CCW and Stride are going to continue to be their own separate entities, but there is going to be a working relationship for the foreseeable future. They're still going to roast shows independent of each other. And, I mean, obviously, there's already quite a bit of overlap between the two shows, but they're going to work together storyline-wise. So at the big, at the CCW versus Stride, especially if it isn't, you know, common knowledge that, hey, how long is this going to go? Is this going to be a thing? Or is it, hey, it's one night only CCW versus Stride. And Dalton Anthony rolls up Axe Allwort. What the hell just happened? Are you kidding? But if it's a long going thing, that can turn into a story.
Yeah.
And you can continue to build off of that. And, you know, it's easier to do it that way than, okay, it's a one night event. So do you do the DC versus Marvel where it's billed as, hey, hero versus hero? Who is the superior comic book character? Okay, it's going to be, now I'm going to jump back to WWE and AEW because I don't remember who would have been world champions at the time. So, okay, it's Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann. And that's going to be the main event, and we're going to decide, you know, who's the better world champion. And 10 minutes into the match, you know, Hybrid 2.0 run out and attack both guys. And then, oh, you know what? This match is thrown out, but no, we're not going to do that. Now it's a tag match. Omega and Swann versus Hybrid.
Yeah, because then you can have a winner and a loser.
Okay, well, now you don't have a winner. Now you've chickened out of giving an actual finish, and now it's a tag match that no one was really clamoring for.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely what would happen if it was a one-night thing, but now that it is a continued, seemingly, because we don't know for sure, but now that it is a continued deal of people showing up across these different shows, it opens things wide open, and it's so much easier for someone to take a loss. Although I do think that, you know, your established world champions really shouldn't be, champions in general really shouldn't be losing non-title matches anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But it's super cool to see. Wrestling's cool. This is cool. Kenta showing up at AEW to attack Moxley is cool. I'm a big fan. And something else that I am a big fan of was that NXT show, TakeOver.
Oh, it was past so Sunday. Good.
TakeOver Vengeance Day. Holy cow. I cannot... this is an A-plus show, top to bottom. Not a single miss. I was blown away by the women's Dusty Tag Tournament Finals. As much as I love Shotzi and Ember, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez winning that, I think was 100% the right move. I am a huge fan of that pairing. I have become a huge fan of Gonzalez. I think she could be the future of the WWE women's division on any of the brands. I love that, and I love her pairing with Kai, of Kai kind of being the mouthpiece and bumping around more while Gonzalez dominates. Because there were some moments of violence in that match. Like, was it Ember that she just, like, absolutely murdered?
Oh, multiple times.
On the, like, over the into the cage, like, through the...
Oh, yeah, no, they were... It's the whole thing of that whole show, that opening match really did set the tone. We hear how important the opening match is on a show. That mm-hmm. is absolutely what those ladies decided to do that night. They said, all right, cool. We know what's coming after us. Mm-hmm. So let's try to make this as memorable as possible. And boy, howdy, did they.
Because I mean, you're right, because it did set the tone, because this whole show was just like, oh, we got to follow that bet.
Yeah, which is like, it's super awesome and to then see they that.
Because, so I was, that was probably like, if I'm being honest, that was probably of all of the matches on the card, the Dusty Finals of each of those were the two that I was least excited for. Knew they were going to be good. It's just like, okay, you know, but the second match for the North American Championship, Johnny Gargano versus Kushida. Ooh. I was excited for that match. I've been looking forward to that match for weeks now. And I was worried that I had hyped it up in my head too much, and like I'd built up too many expectations, because like, okay, Gargano's gonna do something shady with the way Austin Theory's gonna do, you know, it's gonna be classic heel nonsense. No, it wasn't. They didn't. It was Kushida versus Gargano. As much as I would have loved to see Kushida retain, winning that would have Kushida win it. Sorry, Gargano ended up retaining, and he did it clean as a whistle. And what a friggin' match. Gargano selling, like him realizing that he can't use the arm that Kushida had been working the whole time. So he has to like adjust where he grabs on certain it was so good. It was so good.
Dexter Lumis with the save of the century.
Yeah, right at the beginning as they're all coming out, they turn around and like Austin Theory's just gone because Dexter friggin' chloroformed him. It's again, the year of our Lord 2021, and Dexter Lumis is still using chloroform.
Still love, so happy I started to watch Community again, because I just remember, stop chloroforming people!
Oh, we got chloroform too! Wait, who's that?
Ah!
My whole brain is crying! But the Community is the best show. I'm trying very hard. One of my friends on Twitter does a New Girl podcast. And I'm
down.
Like, hey,
bet
if you do a Community podcast, I'm gonna need you to let me on this.
No, we can start it tonight.
I mean, we could, yes.
But another night, maybe not tonight, because I got to figure out this whole microphone thing. But
right. So, but yeah. So yeah, the opening match, fire. Then Kushida, Gargano come out. They match every expectation I could have hoped to have. They killed it. It was great. And then it's like, okay, well. How can you possibly follow that? Out comes MSK and the Grizzled Young Vets. And I'll say this. And I understand that it's annoying when people do this thing that I'm about to do, where it's like almost, I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment, but it's just like, when you hear Hunter talk about Drew McIntyre and how there's just something there that doesn't quite click, that's both the Rascals and Grizzled Young Vets to me. Like, for whatever reason, I recognize that they are talented as all hell and that they're great. There's just something about both teams that I'm like, there's just something missing. For MSK, it's very much like they're always so goofy, and I would like to see them be more serious whenever it's supposed to be. And yeah. A lot of that's on Impact, I think, because of the amount of time that they got the start-stop push of, okay, you're going to be a big deal, and then actually, no, you're going to do more of that 70 show skits. That personally, I just wasn't a huge fan of. I know some people liked them. It just, it didn't sit great with me. But again, it's a taste thing. It's a personal thing. Whatever. No one is wrong for having enjoyed those. But then in this match, whenever, I think it was Nash, was just like, hit me, give me everything you have. Like, boom, right there. It's like, okay, I love these guys. I need these guys to win now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, okay, yes, you have now, that switch has flipped, and I love MSK. MSK all day, baby.
Because it did seem like they were telling the story via words, where they were telling us that we need to be behind MSK because of Nash's father passing when he was younger. And, like, I get it, but you're exactly right of that moment of him being like, hit me with everything you got. That was so much more effective than literally anything else.
Right.
That they were saying on commentary.
Mm-hmm.
I loved MSK. The first time we got to see them live at New Orleans, I knew who they were before, but I fell in immediate love with them getting, like, I got a better appreciation for them getting to see them live. Mm-hmm. And it is cool that they won, but I feel like Grizzled Young Vets should have won.
I disagree. I think this is a Grizzled Young Vets, I think, they are at the level that they're going to be. Like, they may never win the championships, but they're the ones that are the gateway to being the top of the tag team division. And again, total personal thing. I do not mean this as an insult. I hope no one thinks this is an insult, but that is kind of where I would put them. Like, I think that's a good role for them. Like, kind of like the Fandango, but more serious.
Yeah. I can see that being a thing. It was one of those things where all of these matches Sunday night where I don't really care who wins. I just want to appreciate the ride.
And this was also a very different type of tag match than we got in the opener.
Yeah.
As well. So it was just great in a very different way. The flip over the turnbuckle to the corner, the corner that Wes Lee did, killer. Loved it. And then the next match is my least favorite match of the night, but only because it didn't go as long as I really wanted it to. Triple H in the press call after actually said that they had a full 20 minutes they could have used, but the wrestlers and the agents, that's how they wanted the match to go. But the next match was Io Shirai defending the NXT Women's Championship against Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally really wanted Mercedes Martinez to win that. I'm a big fan of hers, and I thought that would have been a really cool win, especially if, like, she beat Toni Storm, so then we could get that one-on-one match between Martinez and Shirai. But this match was hard-hitting while it lasted, and it was really, really good. There was, of course, the one unfortunate spot where the table, Toni Storm was clearing off the table for that spot, and then it just kind of collapsed. And there's that brief moment you can see her of just like,
shit,
what do? Yeah, like, crap. But they covered amazingly. You know, Shirai just ended up hitting the dive off of they were standing and caught her instead of, you know, her putting one or both of them through the table. Like, it ended up working just fine. It really didn't take anything away from the match.
Yeah. It really does prove to her professionalism, because if I ever was in WWE on an NXT takeover or even a house show and the table fell, the amount of motherfuckers you would have heard from my mouth, like, that would have happened, and that would have been a time delay. They would have had to cut away from my face, like, because it would have been audible, and like, you would have told, like, you would have known damn good and well what I said, because that's terrifying. Things like people getting hurt, I've been hurt a couple times in wrestling matches, and that's one thing. Like, there's some shit you can't control. But, like, my greatest fear is a prop not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, you mean like in a last man standing match, whenever you can't reach the handcuffs?
Yes, because here's the thing. You can work around an injury. We've seen it 1,000 times, and we'll see it 1,000 more. It's really hard to work around a prop not working. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it happen before. Like, we've seen Triple H and he tried doing the pedigree and he lifted off and the table just went kaput. Right. But, like, that was hilariously scary to me.
Because at least he still got to hit the pedigree.
Yeah. Toni Storm just did some house cleaning and it just crumbled.
Do you remember? So the match before it was the MSK.
Yes. And I was going to get there. The commentary at least did what they needed to, where they were just like, I guess Wesley hitting it really hard just kind of like broke something and it fell apart.
Right, and I because there was the spot when he was on the outside, he goes up to the commentary table and is like super hyped up and he just starts pounding on the announce table. Like yeah. He gives it like 3 to 5, like really good slams. And then, yeah, and then, and like you said, commentary, I thought did a good job of, oh, Wesley must have knocked something loose and it compromised the structural integrity of our broadcast table yeah. here.
So Caleb Carter said he thought that Tony should have won. That's who I wanted to win. But again, it does go back to the thing that there was no real losers this show, because every match mm-hmm. I was like, I'm cool with. If we would have done predictions on this, I'd have been like, I'm fine with losing because all of these answers were right.
I would have gone 4 for 5 because I would have predicted Mercedes Martinez only because I really wanted her to win. But yeah, there's no. I might have been more annoyed than anything if Shotzi and Ember had won. But I also am in no way upset that they, like, I wouldn't have been upset. I just would have really liked it to have been Kyron Gonzalez. But yeah, there's no one on this card, if they had won their match, that I would have been like mad or even really let down, just mildly disappointed. It's like, oh, these two people that I really like won the thing instead of these other two people that I like maybe just a tiny little bit more.
Yeah, which I mean, that's NXT, and that's been NXT for like the last couple of years minus a couple people.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But then, of course, the main event, because that's not... There was still another match.
Damn, the main event. Main event.
Finn Balor defending his NXT championship against Pete Dunne. And another amazing, another incredible match. You and I have talked about how Pete Dunne is another person that I have been cold on. Like, I enjoy him more. Like, I've enjoyed him more in the last, like, year and a half. Mm-hmm. Than I did, like, his NXT UK stuff and the NXT UK tournament, total miss for me, just for whatever reason. But ever since he got added on as like a mainstay to the NXT roster, like the main NXT roster, he's grown on me a ton.
I think it's because that NXT UK show had so many start and stops, and he mm-hmm. was the face of that show.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was. But like Pete Dunne, they even said it on commentary, 27 years old.
Stupid.
And he's that damn good. And he's been that damn good for a long time.
Right.
Like, he didn't just start being solid a year ago. Like, no, that UK tournament, you could already tell that was somebody that they could build an entire division around for like 10, 15 years. And it's mm-hmm. believable. But yeah, I know that this match went 10 kinds of stupid.
I really, really enjoyed it. My favorite thing about it is, though, is that he didn't do... I don't know if he got a single one off of the finger breaks. It was all...
Oh, no, he did.
Did he? Okay.
He got a couple of them off.
So, but I think he only did one, maybe. Because everything else that he did was bending and twisting and manipulating. Give me all of that, because that's amazing. Because Balor, again, did a really good job of selling the hands, except for the one time where he did the double stomp onto his hands and Balor was like up here and then he had to very quickly put his hands down onto the mat so that they could be stomped.
Yeah, that was a miscue on somebody's. I don't know if Drew didn't put his hands down or Balor decided to get up too early, which yeah. like that could have gone either way, because yes, that was really funny.
That was just to see him throw his hands. That was a rough spot. But other than that, like, there, all right,
there was a finger break spot, because I'm checking our chat, me and yours, like, mm-hmm. personal messages. And you said, I hate the finger break spot. And then I said, I do. So much.
No, I do, because I think that might have been the one that they did. Because, like, it's so much more effective when it's believable. Like, this will hurt. And it can hurt for an extended period of time. But you expect me to believe that someone is actually working with broken fingers, that there is no long-term consequences. Like, there's not even short-term consequences a lot of the time.
Yeah, remember the time the Fiend snapped Finn Balor's neck?
Exactly. It's the exact same thing of it's just like, holy crap, that is a line too far. Like, it's dumb. But we didn't get a ton of that. It was a really, really just great match. And then nothing else happened on the show. Finn Balor retained, and everyone was happy, and nothing else bad happened.
Wait a second, Asa. I think you're missing something.
I'm not. Shut the fuck up.
So, Oney Lorcan, throw him up. And,
Oney Larkin?
And
not Martin Stone.
No, you're right. Danny Burch. Jesus, I almost said Martin Stone. Thank you. They came out and started laying waste to Balor. And then Undisputed came out and saved them.
Mm-hmm.
Undisputed Era came out and saved it. It was really awesome. And then we closed the show, right? That's what happened.
Yeah. So Undisputed Era makes this... Well, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole make the save. Because Bobby Fish is still out with an injury, I think.
I mean, and we can assume it's Bobby Fish, so you're probably right.
Oh, that's such a bummer. But so they come out, they make the save, and Balor is hesitant to trust them. O'Reilly's like, no, you can trust us. You can trust him. You can trust us. We're here for you. We're here to help. And they stand up, and it looks like Kyle O'Reilly's telling him, like, hey, just join with us officially. Like, he kept gesturing to the zip-up hoodie of the Undisputed Era, and it looked like he was going to. And so they all line up, and they all throw up the UE, except for Balor. And then he slowly raises up his fingers to do the finger guns, and Adam Cole super kicks Balor.
Have you gotten really good at judging Adam Cole's range on his super kick?
Yes, because there was someone on Reddit said, like, hey Kyle, why would you ever stay? Why would you ever stand
3.8 feet away?
Distance away. Yeah. Like, that's the American measurement systems are already stupid. So why we should just start saying, like, you are one super kick away.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, me to the door, it's like one super kick away.
Yeah, he may have to step into it, but he's still going to be able to pull it off pretty quick. Because, like,
that's
the thing
about the super kick is it's a kick that is meant to be stepped into. Like, yeah, there's a maximum range before you start to, you know, lose the and you start to dip. But and then, yeah, Adam Cole's yelling at Roderick Strong, and then Kyle O'Reilly's like, hey, what the hell? And then he super kicks Kyle O'Reilly and tells Roddy to come with him and. Don't like it.
We're gonna get some amazing tag matches out of that, though.
I mean, yeah, we're probably like we're gonna get another Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly singles match. Hell yeah! Like, yeah. I'm super on board for that, but not this way.
It's also super, like, it's also a big super bummer because we are actively recording while something is happening right now.
I mean, that's fine. That always happens.
I know, but it's one of those where it's like this is such a big deal because this is a group that's been around since 2018. I think 2017.
That's happening now.
I mean, NXT's on
or that
right
we're
now.
Talking about. Oh,
and
okay.
And
oh,
it's
gotcha.
Like the fallout from that potential breakup is going on right now.
I thought you meant that there was like breaking news happening, like
no.
Big deal going on while we're recording.
No, we are up just. Oh, I mean, it's a takeover. So it
yeah,
might be
the
a recorded
yeah,
show,
the follow up is the follow up is happening now. We'll talk more about that next week, I'm sure. But
yeah,
the greatest heartache to ever happen on. Oh, Valentine's Day for sure. Such a bummer.
Yeah.
But there's still more wrestling to come. We're going to run through this real quick because we are over an hour, but not by much. Elimination Chamber is this weekend. Somehow.
Woot.
That has gotten away from me. But the matches are as follows. There's an Elimination Chamber match that is for the WWE Championship as Drew McIntyre is defending against AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, and entering last in the chamber due to winning that gauntlet match is Sheamus. The Raw Women's Championship was supposed to be defended as Asuka was going to defend against Lacey Evans. However, Lacey Evans announced on Monday that she is pregnant to get away from wrestling Charlotte. Although I have not confirmed this yet, so this is baseless speculation, but apparently Lacey's pregnancy is legit. So that match is more than likely going to be canceled, potentially replaced by something else. There is a triple threat match for the United States Championship as Bobby Lashley defends against Keith Lee and Riddle. And, I would be okay if this was just Bobby Lashley versus Keith Lee. But it'll be fun. There is a, and then the SmackDown one confused me until I looked more into it because there is an Elimination Chamber match to determine who then immediately will wrestle Roman Reigns for the title. So Roman Reigns is not in the Elimination Chamber match and it's not for who to wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. This makes it sound like they're going to, whoever wins that, the chamber's going to come up, Roman's going to come out, and then they're going to wrestle. But the chamber participants are Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan. And I kind of hope it's not Owens, just because we've gotten that already so many times, and yeah. I would love to see a Cesaro-Roman Reigns feud. Like, Cesaro's my number one, Daniel Bryan's my number two, Uso, Corbin, and Zayn are all tied for number three, and then just barely underneath it is Kevin Owens, because the matches that he's had with Reigns have been phenomenal. They have an incredible chemistry with each other, but we've already seen it so many times, and the whole, like, if he didn't win it at that Last Man Standing match, I don't think he's going to win it.
Yeah, that was kind of the last big one where you're like, all right, cool, if he's going to do it, it's going to be right here.
Mm-hmm. And they may add, like, a match to the pre-show or something like that. So I'm not going to do a watch-along for this one. But if we want, I never got my notebook out of my car.
So I have paper.
You got yours? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dalton, for the Raw Elimination Chamber, who do you think wins?
Drew McIntyre.
I also think Drew McIntyre, although my second place is Sheamus.
Do you want to do second since there's that many people?
Yeah, we can. That's really just a way for me to cheat and be like, oh, but look how right I was, even though I didn't pick right.
I'm going to go Kofi, even though it won't happen.
God, that would be amazing.
I know, right?
If we're assuming that the Raw Women's Championship match is still happening, then I'm going to say it's Lacey Evans, because I think the whole point of that match was to put the title off of Asuka so that Charlotte can wrestle Lacey at WrestleMania.
Lacey, but I'm going to put TBD.
Yeah.
This one won't count unless it happens.
Because I don't think that match is going to happen. I think if anything, we get like a random, maybe something might get set up on SmackDown to either get Sasha a defense against someone real quick, or even a women's tag title match. Okay. And we could get an Intercontinental Championship match too, because we may get a triple. I would think it's going to be the Triple H, Big E, Apollo Crews, and Nakamura.
Yeah.
Off of what happened on Friday. So, U.S. title match, I think Lashley retains.
Who are my options again on that?
Lashley, Keith Lee, or Riddle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lashley as well.
Okay. And then the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match, I think it's going to be Daniel Bryan.
That's who also I have.
Who's your second place?
I'm going to go Kevin Owens.
I was also going to go Kevin Owens, but I'll say Cesaro. Even though I don't think it's going to be Cesaro, I think Cesaro will get distracted by Seth Rollins, and that'll get him eliminated.
All right, good, because right now there's only four choices, and we have almost identical.
Yeah.
And one of the matches might not even happen, because I have Asuka. That's the only one that would be different.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like we're going to go 6-for-6 then, or 5-for-5 or whatever, because is there any chance Roman Reigns doesn't leave the Elimination Chamber as Universal Champion?
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Unless it's some big return, but they would have to like do as Chris Jericho like murdered somebody on their way to the cell.
Right. Or Kofi getting attacked by Edge or something like that.
There would have to be something along those lines for it to happen that quick. So yeah, no, it's the one thing I hate about, like, this is my least favorite pay-per-view of the year, because unless we see the writing on the wall super early, there's nothing big that's gonna come out of this. This is placeholder the pay-per-view.
And that sucks, because when you think of what the Elimination Chamber match was originally supposed to... Oh, excuse me, gross. When you think of what the Elimination Chamber match originally was, this and Hell in a Cell are my two least favorite, just because it totally devalues what these stipulations are.
Which, like, whenever the... Yeah, like we were saying, like, this Elimination Chamber was supposed to be, like, the end-all, be-all match.
Of it's just like, holy crap, there's this many people who have such a legitimate claim to the title, and they all hate each other. Like, these are bitter personal rivalries.
Yeah, go watch that first Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And then watch the current Elimination Chamber.
Not even talking about like the design of the chamber with the, you know, the padding now.
Oh, I'm fine with that. No, I am perfectly cool with that.
Yeah, same. We talked about that like last year or 2 years ago, whenever it first debuted, and everyone was like, but now they're not going to be crippled by the time they're 45.
I am very pro letting these motherfuckers walk into their 50s. Like, I will always be pro that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, that's going to be it. That's Elimination Chamber. We will obviously be covering how that went and the results of that next week on Wednesday. So, that's it for the show. We're done.
We did it.
For those listening as a podcast, don't forget every Wednesday night, usually 7 p.m. usually, facebook.com/podzilla1985. You can watch us, record us live. You can hang out in the chat with Caleb and Michaela, who thank you again so much. I really, really appreciate you guys hanging out with us here as we do this each week. And so that means a lot. I hope you guys are staying warm and staying safe. And everybody out there listening, I know Ciro and Zane got hit pretty hard with the winter weather. So I hope everybody is staying warm, staying inside, being safe. So don't forget, of course, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony, get you some sweet Dalton Anthony gimmicks, as the good brothers would say.
Brothered out and all your Dalton brother. Anthony. I will sign it. I'll send you a thank you card. Those are cheap to send out. If you buy one of my shirts and I find out, because I'll have your address, I think. I'll just send it out, brother. I might gig on it and let a little bit of the blood. I'm clean because Missouri.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that. That's gross. That's so gross. No. Moving on. So maybe don't get a Dalton Anthony shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. I don't know. I'm going to leave that one up to you. Of course, you can catch me. You can watch me fail miserably at Mario at twitch.tv/the5starman. That has been a awful experience so far, and
I'm proud of you.
Can't
for doing
wait
it.
To keep it going. Although we're going to do the Nuzlocke run, I want to do that again on Saturday because that actually ended up being a lot of fun. But yeah, so I do streaming at twitch.tv/the5starman, and of course that is with the number 5. And don't forget, just, you know, keep an eye on the Facebook page here, because, you know, we go live Mondays. We either do I Want to Believe or Nerd Up. Tuesdays is PZ85 Plays. Wednesdays, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thursdays, PZ85 After Dark. Friday, of course, you know what time it is. It's horse time. And then there's also just random streams. Shannon did a random stream on Valentine's Day. I know he and Tanner were playing Phasmophobia last night. So you never know what's going to happen. So give us a like here on Facebook. And then, of course, there's the Reddit, reddit.com/r/podzilla1985. And I think I got all the plugs in, because I'm pretty sure I forgot to do all of them last time. But, you know, that's what comes. That's what happens when you're a terrible host.
I know. I think you better than I can do.
But until next time, everyone, have a great night. Stay safe. We appreciate you so, so much. Y'all mean the world to us.